Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ease up my selector, what are you telling me?
Yeah, just easing nice. Myself into the evening.
Okay, it's yeah, that time, it's that time,
yeah.
The sun changes to the moon, isn't it? As they say.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I don't know if it changes, but...
Well, it swaps, it goes into the... It goes and rests in the forest for a bit.
Yeah, it goes beneath ground.
Well, of course, a poetical way of putting it is the sun hibernates at night. A poetical.
Is that a word?
Yeah.
Oh, right. No, it's because you read.
Yeah. Or portical.
Lovely.
Yeah. The sun hibernates at night.
It does.
It's one of my old poems.
Yeah. What's the full poem?
Well, I wrote it for you. The sun hibernates at night. I wish me and you will never fight.
Yeah.
Never put out our candlelight.
No, they always rhyme.
Oh, yeah, you've got it.
Yeah. No, that's true.
No, actually, the original, it goes, never put out my candlelight. Will you be mine, friends? And then it ends like that. So it doesn't rhyme.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, that's nice. It's quite open-ended. What is that?
Well, the candle burns both thereof at each end.
The ends?
Yeah. Do you know someone that might burn a candle at both ends and might not?
Probably are at the moment, because they're working bloody hard.
Exactly. Is our latest guest, today's guest even.
Yeah. Or latest, if you're listening.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So today's guest is someone very special.
Yeah.
As usual. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, well, they've got to be.
Yeah.
Because to be on here, do you know what I mean? We select them.
Yeah.
There's thousands of creatives just throwing their names in the hat and we're picking.
They're going mental for it. All the A-listers.
Yeah. All the lists. Yeah.
Oh,
so
yeah,
anyway,
literally.
Today's guest is someone very special. Yeah.
Yep.
Someone who got brought to my attention because I featured in his music video and he probably doesn't even know that or remember.
That's mad.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Someone whose voice only communicates through bass tones.
Yeah.
Someone whose style crosses the boundaries of soul, rap, trap and grime.
Oof.
Someone who's he sees a box and he goes, oh, fuck off, man. I'm not getting in that box, you prick. Get out of my sight. Yeah?
Get out.
I play on my own time. Yeah?
Yeah.
Someone who's actually saying something when he's on a mic. Yeah? Not just chatting shit like us.
No.
Yeah? He's insanely talented. The Carhartt wearing, microphone tearing, any other MC scaring or searing in a pan. Mm. It's Jelani Blackman.
This is nothing more than an intro.
Yo, hey.
Hey, there we go.
Hey, there we go.
Hey, thanks for coming on, man. Really appreciate your time.
Pleasure, bro. Yeah,
thank you, man.
Thanks for asking, man.
You know, I was in your music video. Do you know that?
No.
In the intro, when I was in his music video, but he probably doesn't know it. So the tune you done with Zoo.
Yeah.
I was in that. Or as Zoo, like Zoo. You know, like how you got all your friends in and shit.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
But I didn't clock that until like now. Obviously, even where I see your colours and your name floating about, I didn't put two and two together.
Yeah.
I was like, right, actually, I was in this Brez music video. This is crazy.
Yeah.
But I do remember that. That was a good vibe, man. It was a mad time, obviously.
I know. How has this last year been for you, bro?
Up and down. Mm. Like, you kind of like to say that you know how things work, and I feel like everything happens for a reason. So there have been some really good things. Like, obviously, the colours were so positive, but
yeah,
I haven't been playing anything, so it's a bit...
Yeah, for real.
You haven't been able to, like, enjoy it as much as you would have done.
Yeah, that's it.
It's a big look, colours, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
It was mad as well, because fucking they were done. They were out of lockdown already in Berlin, but we were still in lockdown.
Oh, yeah, that's where you have to go, isn't it? When they invite us down there, we'll
go down Berlin. Yeah.
All pastel, ready for it.
Yeah.
Oh, your trousers are saying a lot as well. What was the trousers?
The trousers.
Yeah.
Do you know what the trousers were? I'll be honest.
They were hard.
I had an outfit planned, and my girlfriend was like, "Nah, don't wear that." So she chose me something different. That's where the trousers came.
When your girl says don't wear that, then you know to listen.
Yeah, you know it.
Yeah. Although sometimes I still question it. Like, really?
You have to question just so you know you have your own
kind of feeling.
It's true. Yeah. bro, the views as well, man. 1.5 mil.
Yeah, it's good. It's good.
Crazy.
Spotify plays a fire as well.
Yeah. Do you know what? The response has been nice. I feel like one of the things for me that's always been, I guess, a bit of a barrier is... Anyone that's ever seen me play live has always been like, oh shit, like I get it. Like I understand who he is. Like I get the vibe, but doesn't always translate just through the music. So it was nice to have a platform to show people what it feels like when I can perform a song.
Yeah,
for the response that people had, they're like, okay, cool. Like we get it now.
Because like you were saying, it's like, it's a tough one where you're doing this, but you're not being able to perform like in this last year as well.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like your name's getting bigger, but you can't go out there and like connect.
Yeah. But I don't know if I would have been able to do the same performance if I'd been... Because it felt... I don't know if you've seen it, like it was like a release. It felt like a release, isn't it? Like that was like all the things I hadn't managed to do, so it came out in one.
Yeah. And what about just your personal life, man? How have you found it all and shit, man? Where you from? Labbrook Grove? You from West?
Yeah, I'm from Grove. I live in Finsbury Park now.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, like my house.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, it's been good. I've been in it. Like, it's been...
Yeah.
It has been productive, but it's also been... It's had its moments. Like, this was a hard January for me.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
This is a very useful part of the show for when you need... things to do. It's the recommendation part.
What about like recommendation for the people that are, you know, well, I mean, we're coming out of lockdown soon, but they still need stuff
it's
to
always
watch
good.
And listen to and read. Have you got anything that you could recommend
for coming out of lockdown?
Just in general, just like anything you've been watching, reading or eating.
Eating.
I meant reading.
Yeah. Any good free porn sites? Just
anything. Yeah.
I feel like I breathe through a lot. So I watched The Mandalorian.
Oh,
which like
that's for you too. That's for you too.
It was good. It was a grower. It got there in the end. By the way, have you seen it?
Yeah. I wasn't a Star Wars guy before that.
Yeah.
I wasn't really bothered. Like I'm aware, but I wasn't like.
Yeah.
But now I'm hard.
it was good. It was good. It got emotions. That was good. That's the most recent thing I watched.
I contemplated buying Lego. That's what level I was at for about a month.
Lego's expensive.
Yeah. It's bucks, man. Like £150 for a Millennium Falcon. I got nothing to do, man.
Yeah. Oh, well, you thought you were going to buy it for yourself?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant for your kid. Yeah. Oh, no. That's amazing.
No, he's two. He wouldn't get that.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Fucking hell. Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy.
For someone else, but it's really for you.
Yeah.
Of course.
So, anything else?
Yeah, not reading. I've been...
You'd have to pretend to read in front of us. We don't.
Yeah. I don't read.
Yeah.
No, you know what? I'm not like publicizing it, but like, so I'm not going to chat too much, but I wrote a book. I've written a book.
Oh, fucking hell.
I've finished a project that I was... working on musically. I had a lot of time to work on music, but so I haven't done much reading because I've been writing myself. But yeah, so but we'll see. I'm working on the second draft now. No one's read it. No one's seen it. Wow. But
sick, oh, do you know? Can I just say I feel a lot better for not I write a TV series, so it's okay that I don't read. That's what we're saying. Yeah. If we're writers, we don't need to. Yeah, yeah. Okay, that's sick. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've got bare books in the background. I haven't got time, though, because I'm always writing, probably.
Yeah, I'm always writing.
Yeah. So wait, so you can't really talk about it, but like, where did that come out of? Nowhere.
I'm excited, but it's kind of like, I felt like for the last, I guess, year and a bit, the music has been in a really good place for me. I feel there was a time in the past where I felt like I was chasing myself quite a lot. So like, I don't know how much you know, but I kind of fell into the cycle of music. So like I put out a tune before I really had a plan, and the tune that I put out blew up. Mm-hmm. And then ever since then, I was kind of like chasing, trying to catch up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, and so I never really felt comfortable with how much music I had. And then I had a year where I just kind of went away, spent a lot of time, I guess not even, I didn't go to the studio that much. And I was going to the studio a lot before. I was going like four times a week, working with bare different producers, and it was stressful.
Yeah, yeah. Session life, shit, man. Unless that's what you want to do.
Yeah, it's not. And I was really unproductive. I was just making a lot of shit that I didn't like. So I had loads and loads of tunes that didn't really represent me. I felt like creatively and emotionally drained. Mm.
Did you feel like you're on kind of like...
conveyor belt.
Yeah, yeah. The conveyor belt of like names and shit that you don't know or care about. Like,
And I think, I guess for me, it was different because I didn't have a clear idea about what I wanted to make. I was just enjoying making stuff. I kind of came from a time in music where it wasn't as easy to not be pigeonholed. Like, now it's great because everyone's like, oh, like, it doesn't really matter what he does.
Spotify has changed that massively, I think.
Yeah, exactly. But I was like pre the Spotify wave. So when I was making music, it wasn't really like, oh, just be yourself and do whatever. It was like, how are we going to fit you
make
in
a
space?
Hit, get you on a radio playlist and all that shit.
Like, and do you find, because even when, like, I mean, it's not the same, but like back in the day when I used to rap and I proper had that fit, it sort of made me feel like I don't really enjoy it because all I was thinking about, what style is this? What does this fit into? How are people going to perceive this? Do you know what I'm saying? Because it was either like that road rap's over there, then UK hip hop's over here, then, you know, the trap's there. You know what I mean? You couldn't really blend everything. Do you know what I'm saying? And like, I think it takes out the musical element out of it, you know?
But then like Tiny Tempers came along and then it was like this weird sort of crossover pop kind of thing, and you had to hit a certain like playlist, a certain amount of support from certain radio stations and shit, and then I just dropped, and then it was like, oh wait, we can make what we want, and if it's good music, people will like it.
Yeah.
Well, that's where we're at now.
No, that is where we're at. And like, even recently, the thing that like the latest playlist that I got put on Spotify, like, it's dedicated to kind of genreless music, which I think says a lot about where I think is at. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So now I'm feeling a lot better, and I feel like this is like the time for me to like really make the music that I want and for it to resonate. But anyway, so like all through that period of time when I was not being productive, I just stopped. I fully just stopped going to studio. Went like five times the next year, and each of those times that I went, I made more songs than I had in the whole of the period of time before.
Yeah.
And it kind of gave me the groundwork to then build towards where I'm at now, where I'm not stressed about like what song's gonna come next or because there's music.
Yeah.
So it's good. So I feel comfortable, and like it means that now when I write, I feel less pressure to kind of be driving towards a certain thing. Like, I feel like the music that I make is just me, which is place to be.
That's what you want.
Because like you can't force it, innit? It's like, it depends what type of artist you are. Like an artist that's saying something like you and it's like cares about his craft. It's not just about the machine. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, it's sick that you clocked that pretty early on and stopped. Do you know what I mean? Rather than just getting caught in it and just doing loads of shit you don't want to do, and you look back 10 years later, like, what the fuck have I done? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or you hate it. You hate it.
Yeah, and you end up hating what you loved in the first place. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Let's let's take this back, bro. Like, you were raised in West, yeah?
Yeah.
In Grove. Yeah. So talk us through, like, growing up and your what your household was like, your influences, and what got you into music.
I guess it's funny, like, I was home for the first time in obviously Asia, over East, right? And it's nice. Like, there were a lot of nice things about growing up where I lived. Like, it was, I guess, more than anyone else really clocked at the time. And it was so annoying when, like, time started going on and everybody started chatting about gentrification. And I was like, I've been telling you this for time. Obviously, I'm like, it was like the home of it.
Grove was the first big place.
Yeah, bro, it was the wave. And, like, you had the massive divide between rich or, like, back to back, but it was essential.
But it's not even just, like, rich. It's, like, fucking rich.
Yeah, exactly. So it was accentuated because you had really, really, like, the upper echelon of what
was.
And then, and the same kind of poverty and same thing everywhere in London. So it was really different. And I always felt like I sat somewhere in the middle. I come from a background where I would say, like, I'm almost second generation in London. So, like, my mum was born here.
Okay. Yeah.
So she managed to make steps into being a, but she comes from a background where she would, like, definitely class herself as working class. And so, like, I feel like I've always sat somewhere in the middle, which is why I was kind of interested growing up in the area I lived in. And it wasn't until I went to Leeds, I went to Leeds Uni, that I thought that actually, as much as I felt I was in between, actually I wasn't, because there are the people that I knew there, or, like, I came across, not the friends, but, like, I was like, right, actually, you lot used to cross the road when you saw us when I was younger. So, like, it's blessed now, like, I managed to get to here because I'm not dumb and rah, 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 but, like, it was different. You didn't, we weren't in the same place and we lived very different lives. So, like, the Notting Hill of, I guess, that I understand and know now and I see people in now, I didn't have access to that when I was growing up.
Yeah.
I was still very much part of, like, the other side of Grove. And,
yeah.
But, yeah, like, it was nice. I also didn't, at a certain point, I stopped. West London's quite small.
Yeah.
So I felt like I needed to branch out. Lots of my origins are from, like, a little bit further, like, northwest, south.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then I went to college in north. Now I live in east. So, like, I've done that.
Yeah.
You clocked it.
So when you was growing up in Grove, what was your first, like, what were they playing in the in your house as well? Was your mum or dad into music or not really? Did you have to find it out on your own?
No, my mum loves music. Like, it was always, something was always on. There was a lot of, this was like the 90s. So, like, there was a lot of Mary J. Blige, like, Lauryn Hill. Oh. But she also, like, Ella Fitzgerald's, like, blues, jazz. Mm-hmm. It was a big spread, actually. And, like, she had classical as well. It was a very musical household. I feel like it kind of just, it soaks in, like, before you know what it is.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, that's what.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, for me, like, I only know about the old soul and jazz through first getting into hip hop, and then years later hearing the samples and being like, oh, I actually love this shit because I know it now from 90s hip hop. But hearing it firsthand at that age, that's sick. And like you say, it must go into you, man.
I feel like that's probably why, like, I always wanted to be I've said this before, like, low-key, I wanted to be an R&B singer. Like, it's like,
sick.
I wish I could sing, like, I wish I had, like, a soul singer's voice. Like, I don't, so, but I make it work. I can hold it too.
Yeah,
I can sing,
of course.
But, like, I'm not Usher. But, like, there was a time when I wanted to be,
So when did you first start, like, when was music a thing where you thought you could get involved? And you grew up in the grime era, right? Like, just,
first time around.
Yeah,
it was sick. Like, I guess for me, if my home was, like, where the music that was, I think this is why it was an interesting contract, because if home was where, like, the music was given to me, then, like, the first music of my peers and the people that I was around was grime, really. I like, obviously, like, noise, hip hop and rah rah, but, like, grime was the music of the time. Like, that was like, life in terms of music was Boy in the Corner when I first heard it. I was like, I had it on, like, a pirate's, like, burn CD. And I loved it. Like, I think everything about it, the energy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was the era as well of, like, proper being in the park, clashing with your friends. Like, every time that you went back home, it'd be like, oh, like, what am I writing to come back next time? Like, But West kind of, I feel, it's coming to its own a lot now. But
yeah,
back in the day, it did have a scene, and there were people, but it wasn't mass. There wasn't like a scene.
We didn't have our superstar though.
No,
like the only people from West I can think of was like we were talking about this the other day. You got like Antisocial,
Silver, Unorthodox, Purple. Oh my God, Purple.
There's a few heads, but it wasn't like
Dolot and an Ice Kid were about.
That was the next generation after that. Yeah.
But that's kind of my they were my generation, but. There was no one massive. Like there were no Wileys, there were no Skeptics, there were no all coming out to like lead the way. So
well, yeah, back then it would have been about East mainly, North, and then the gully shit from South, and
It was still like old school. You know, when before we really took ownership of like our own rap, when it like Giggs's rap was like. It was UK, but it was still US. So that was what was going on in South. Yeah, but West didn't quite have his own thing. So I never really had the kind of avenue to like jump on the scene way. And I wasn't traveling to grime sets and rah rah. So
yeah.
I could have my own. Do you know what I mean? So, but I also had my own thing because I played sax from when I was 9.
Wow.
So,
sick. Oh, sick.
So I had my own kind of idea about what music we're like. I know I've been making tunes since I was that age. Like I used to be called Shifty, you know. There's
Bear Shifties, isn't it, back in the day? in our era that was Sniper. They'd be like Sniper D, and then, that's hard though, man.
But yeah, so from then I was playing sax, and so I had a kind of not different, but I wasn't just about buzz. I kind of wanted to make music as well. So like I had a feeling of wanting to make songs, and obviously from my household, like I was listening to R&B and soul, and so I wanted to make songs as opposed to just like jump on like hard rhymes. So there was always a little.
As much as you appreciated the energy of the youthful energy you get of buzzing off doing a set or whatever, you still had the understanding of wanting to. Yeah, that makes sense, man. Yeah,
exactly. And I feel like that's why. Kind of now I've said about Hello, like it was a really nice moment because it felt like a finally like kind of accumulation of that, like the melody and the vibe and the energy, but also the kind of melodic element and the
100%. You can hear it, man. You can hear, that's the first thing I thought.
You said it.
It could have been any tune that connected, but it was that one, and I feel like that says a lot about
you. Got a great unique tone.
That's
what immediately captured me when I heard your tune.
You get that from years of blowing a saxophone. It goes deeper, apparently.
Yeah.
You talk from your waist.
I talk from my dick only, son.
Talk from my dick, baby.
That's fucking sick. Was there ever like now it's amazing how it's all come together and people can appreciate that. But was there ever a time where you you know, because when you're younger, it's easy to want to do the cooler, more accepted thing. So was there ever a time where you maybe shied away from the saxophone part of it or that part of it?
Definitely, there's. It's kind of been a constant conflict, to be honest. Mm. Like that was the thing that was always running through, even up until when I was like 17. I was in a band, and the band was a bit of a mashup of different vibes as well.
Yeah.
But even that, I feel like kind of, I guess, not confused me, but I never felt the need to put myself in a lane. And my life could have been a lot easier. Like, I could have just like been like, okay, cool, I'm going to do this and done it. And whether I was successful or not, at least it would have been clear. But
I guess you, instead of having that big moment early on when you're still figuring it out and then maybe doing a show with a live band, now you know, like, that's not me.
That's not
what I want. You don't have to figure it out publicly.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? Like, yes or no. Like, I didn't initially, but after I dropped 23, which is my first tune, very, like, neo-soul, And it was just a tune that I liked, and it was a vibe, and I was like, cool, like this works. But it kind of went off, and this was like in blog era, so people just picked and it was getting featured on loads of stuff. But I knew that wasn't me, like fully me. Like I knew that was still, there was the grime bubbling, like energy was bubbling. Yeah. Like this is never for work. I'm like, I'm not that guy. Like, I'm not just going to...
You're not the Neo Soul guy.
Yeah, I'm not a Neo, like I like
it. As much as you'd want... No, but that's the thing. It's a cool thing to be, so that's not even that. Yeah. It's like, you'd as much as you'd like to be, it just doesn't feel like it's fully you, innit?
I feel like that was the prime moment when if I was just like, do you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to stick to this lane. Like, people would be like, oh, yeah, he's like the UK Frank Ocean. I was like, oh, bro, I swear that. That was never on my agenda. And other people would have just doubled down on it and been like, cool, well, people like this. Let me do more music. But I couldn't. I guess if there's anything that my music has always been, even if I like say so myself, it's always been authentic to who I was at the time. The first EPs that I did, I just named them, like, so it was 1 to 4, mm-hmm. 5 to 8, because there was no coherent message or vibe. It was just the first 4 songs that I put out, the next 4 songs that I put out. So yeah, like, each song was just what I wanted to do. It wasn't like, okay, cool, like, this is me, all right. It took a while to develop. So, like, I guess, yeah, in one way, I did unfortunately have to go through that learning process a little bit under more scrutiny than I would have liked, because people were a bit of expectation, like, oh, what is he
tuning into?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. It makes sense, because, like, when I was listening to your back catalogue, I was like going, like, I listened to all your stuff and then I was like, oh, I wonder who he's collab with, or, you know, and there's a lot of stuff where you're just featuring on producers' albums and stuff. And it was a completely different vibe to the stuff you're dropping now, sort of thing. So that's amazing as well. It's just, it's all like different avenues and stuff that you're experimenting with. But it feels like now, from seeing where you've come to with Hello and stuff like that, that makes more sense now explaining it, that you've kind of found exactly all the parts of you. Before, they were all parts of you, but now they're all parts of you on one tip, on one thing, innit?
On one tip, yeah.
And
I think that now, like, the progression from here will feel like me regardless of anything else that happens, which is nice. And I think the thing that I always look back on, if I ever have moments, because everybody has moments of, like, I guess, self-doubt or, like...
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Like, yeah, just wondering, oh, did I make the right decision, or, like, should I have done this? But the one thing that I can say, like, with certainty is I love all of the songs that I put out, and I would want all of them to exist in the world.
Yeah.
So that kind of gives me comfort. Like, there's nothing I look back and I'm like, oh, like, I wish because none of them would have happened if I had a different process.
Yeah, of course.
And I'm happy, and I'm very happy where I am now. So, like, it's all good, really.
Yeah, that's sick. And when was the first time, I mean, and I'm not talking about, like, in the park with your bredgins and that, when was the first time someone else heard your music and you felt that instant kind of, like, gratification from someone, like, appreciating what you've done, sort of thing, like, putting something out?
There was a tune called Under the Radar. So this was a Shifty tune.
Okay, and Man Like Shifty,
Shifty.
And it actually did the rounds. It, like, people heard it. People were listening. I wish I could find it. But that was the first time that I put out a tune. And people were like, all right.
This is all right.
And you're like, right, people that don't know me are feeling this.
This feels good. Yeah,
but it was mad because I didn't really know what I was doing.
Yeah.
Like, now I'm so, like, I know the process so well. But, like, back then it was just what I was, like, it's what we did in our spare time.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
this is what my career is going to be. Or I was just like, well, like, I'm high. Like, we sat around, like, shall we just make a tune? It wasn't like, how are we going to make it big? Like,
Of course. And that's the best way. That's the beauty, isn't it?
Yeah.
No expectations.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more.
and is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, yo!
Yo!
Ha ha!
Ha 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 ha!
Will everybody shut the fuck up?
Settle down, settle down!
You're in tune to the Chatting Shit Podcast!
UK Stand Up!
The world's greatest!
The best there ever was that ever lived!
Series 2 out now, motherfucker!
Oh gosh!
Ha ha!
Are you ready?
Check it! Check
it! Are you ready?
Check it!
Progressing from then, when was the first time that you like... So you went to uni. What did you study at uni, by the way?
Yeah, I struggled with music and philosophy.
Jelani's just enjoying a little cookie, just for the listeners out there.
Yeah, one second.
Did you say music and philosophy?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. It was interesting, man.
Yeah. Wait, is that one course or music and philosophy?
No, it's two separate courses.
Right, okay. Cause...
Well, yeah, it was basically...
Because people usually do music, like me and Hugo, when they don't really know what to do and they just can just bang it out. And then you've added philosophy onto that just to make it more difficult.
Yeah.
Just to make it more difficult, to make my life harder.
Yeah.
Yeah, sick. Man.
Yeah,
right. It did make life harder because there are so many questions that you realize afterwards are just unanswerable.
Yeah.
It was like, how am I going to work when actually all of this is redundant?
Uni's just taught me. That's true.
Money is pointless and it can't make me happy.
But I've done this course to maybe earn some money after. Fucking confusing.
Yeah.
That's mad.
It's mad that as well that you have that. And then like, on the other hand, like our music teachers were like, 60-year-old men with rat tails and sort of leather fingerless gloves sort of telling us how the future of music is going to be.
Yeah, we did music tech, innit? And then like you'd have, like, I mean, I say did, we both failed, we tried. But like, you'd go through the hallways and just hear people going, oh man, I love reverb. You love reverb.
You actually heard that didn't you?
On everything, you love reverb. What does that even mean?
Just love it, man.
It's just like the future of like, these fucking mad technicians that you end up meeting in the studios. You know what I mean?
I kind of agree. I love you.
I love you. Same, but not on everything.
Really?
That's like going, fucking love computers.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah, what?
Undeniably.
Yeah. I love food, man. I love food.
Like, even like strip it all the way back when people are like, do you like music? I'm like, no, actually. Yeah.
Bruv, but there's people that don't like music and I don't trust
them. Yeah, no, there are people that don't like ice cream, which I only discovered the other day.
Wow, yeah.
But I really feel like something bad has happened to you in your life if you don't like ice cream.
You got tied up in a basement and force-fed ice cream.
Who hurt you?
Did Ben and Jerry's hurt you?
Yeah. Ben and Jerry individually at different times and then together.
Kidnapped you.
Yeah. So you come out of uni and were you making music throughout that point or was it
that was when I met the people that I kind of I guess formed the beginning of my career with, like,
okay,
this guy called Fred Gibson who has gone on to do like a lot of music.
Oh man, that's our best mate Fred again, shout him out.
So
I was gonna save this to the end, but I was just gonna ask you a question actually. How was it working with German producer Hulk Hoden when you made the beat for Lighter Fuel, which is the single that went on your first solo mixtape? Fred and Ed told us to ask you that and just fucking...
They're
like, bro, you just buzz him out and ask him the most specific question. How was it working with Norway Underground Jazz outfit, Them Blends, on their debut album, In the Eyes of the Mountain, 2017?
That was actually a great experience. That was one of the best musical experiences I've ever had. It was so, you know, it was just very pure.
Yeah.
very, very pure.
Yeah.
Obviously, like Hen was the, man, he's the front a G. of that. Yeah,
yeah, of course. Even when you said pure, I saw Hen come out of you. That's just very pure music.
Yeah, Icelandic warrior.
Yeah.
It was, that bro doesn't need a passport to walk into Norway. He just walks in. No.
They know him.
Yeah.
Any Nordic country.
Yeah. Nah, they're G's, man. They're really close to them, and they spoke very highly about you. And Ed says he's sorry and he loves you. He hasn't said why, but he said tell him that. But there you go. Yeah. But so you met Fred at uni then?
Yeah. Well, I met him through actually Ed's brother, who was living in the same house as some of the other people that I met. Like, obviously, Leeds has a very, I guess, small, like, I don't know, it's like everywhere, isn't it? Like, everywhere is very small when you look at it. So like I came to Leeds and met people that I would never have met in London. I met Fred through this guy Chaz, who's Ed's brother, who's a singer, and he was like, yeah, come down. Like I was making tunes with a band called Lazy Lion, so that was this girl called Rena Sawayama and this guy Theo Ellis, who's in Wolf Alice. That was what I was doing. Like I kind of had my own thing. I was working on my own music as well. I went down to Fred's, and Fred is obviously
a G.
He's a musical genius, undeniably. So we went down, and immediately I was just like, this is different. Like, this is a kind of different level, I guess, but also like different type of musicality. Like I'd worked with talented people before. Like one of my closest friends was also kind of like virtuosic when he was a beat maker, this guy called Max, but it was just different. It was a very different kind of thing. And like, it was the first time that I'd really been pushed or felt comfortable challenging myself in certain areas.
Yeah.
And
he's good, but
it was also still nice because it was still like very organic. Like it wasn't like, this is a career thing. It was just like, yo, like, let's just vibe and make music. And that went on for quite a long time. And we had some really, really good, we had some great times, man. Like as a group of people, as you can imagine, kind of all buzzing, all young, like just kind of living and enjoying the music that we made together. There was some great music that never saw the light of day that was like collectively with Hen and Fred and me, this other guy called Jim, who is like, he's still a writer.
I've met Jim.
Yeah. Like, but he's like was doing really well as well. Like he actually just had two tracks in like that were in the top 10. So like it was a real like buzz of talented musicians and artists that just were having fun and enjoying stuff. And that was great. And then so that was like a kind of collective vibe. And then on the other side, I met another amazing like kind of virtuosic producer. I've been very lucky in my life. Like I have to say, like one of the things that I can never be like grateful enough for is the people that I've come across, because I really feel like they've made my music and my musical experience worthwhile. They've made it something special, like just through the relationships that I've built. And I guess when I met this other guy actually at a house party called Jacob Manson, who on a sofa in a house party, turns out he was on the same course as me. And then we struck up a really strong relationship and friendship as well. And he is the person who has kind of done this second wave of music with me. Like, but we kept in contact. We did it like a mixtape back then, but it was like very kind of hip hop orientated. Like, but it was all me. It was the first time I'd had like a solo vibe, and so he kind of helped craft that. And then he went off and did his own thing. He was in a duo. You remember Blonde? The house thing.
Yeah.
So that was his thing. So again, like just lucky, man. I've just been around like really talented people, but he went off and had his own.
Is he a producer then?
He's a producer.
Does he make all your beats now then? Because a lot of them have got like a similar sort of sound, haven't they?
Yeah. So that's how he does like Nobody's Son and Average Joe and all those tunes. Yeah. So that's him. So like we did our thing at uni. He went off and kind of found a more, I guess, dance orientated lane. I was getting quite experimental, so we weren't really on the same musical page.
Yeah.
But then it kind of came full circle, and a couple of years ago we came back together and it just clicked straight away, and like, oh sick, like this is what it used to feel like. And we were, it was amazing. So and he's really driven this new wave of me feeling quite coherent and cohesive as an artist. So yeah, man, like it's been an interesting journey, and I've met a lot of great people along the way. I feel like I've been talking for time.
No, sick. No, do you know what? It's just making me think that like uni's such an important thing, and it doesn't have to be uni, but it's about just stepping out of your comfort zone and out of your ends to like, it could be like, for me it was college. Like I wouldn't have met Hugo, who then introduced me to the rest of the boys us to do what we did eventually, you know. And it was the first time I met people that were creatively similar to me, do you know what I mean? Not even like similar taste, but the fact that they wanted to do things like that, you know what I mean? I'm from somewhere where no one's really doing much, you know what I mean?
So that's what I'm saying, man. Yeah. It's just being in another space, like broadening your horizons. It's not that there's anything wrong with like being in London or being where you're from, but from taking
those steps, you met those people that you're now, and like you said, there might have been years where you weren't connecting together, and then you're back and you've now created this sound, which is that important.
Which also fucking, again, like, so I just haven't mentioned him yet, but like someone else who's been like key and like instrumental is, who also kind of knows Fred and that lot, but like, and I met him through them, this guy called Staff, who we just spent, he was just kind of working out his way as a producer. And then we had a really intense time of writing stuff, but it wasn't necessarily exactly what it was writing. I was in a situation in terms of the deal that I was in that I wasn't particularly happy in, and which happens, like,
yeah, of course,
no bad blood. I don't hold it against anyone or whatever, but that was just what happened. But yeah, but then I came back in that year where I was feeling very good about music again, where I'd like reset, saw him at Christmas, I think, in like 2019. One session, we were just five, and that's when I wrote Hello in that session.
That's amazing.
Yeah, 30 minutes. Like, it was a mad one. Like, sick. So, man, music, obviously, something that people don't really always, I guess, see or think, but music is about relationships.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, definitely.
But, like, B, it's about the producers. It's like, when producers don't always get a shout out or enough love, but they're the heart of it. So,
I feel like any creative like venture, whether it's TV, music, writing, whatever, there's always needs to be a collaboration with different humans. And I'm not talking about collabs as in two rappers or whatever. I mean, whoever it is, you know what I mean? There's people that get together to make this, do you know what I'm saying? And the producer is like, you know what I mean? Like, that's like 50% of it, you know what I mean?
I guess it is, you're right. It's like anything in life. It's sometimes you get people who are willing to provide the platform or the backbone for other people to develop. And like, that's a gift, I feel, because other people, like I know, I was almost spoiled. Like if I didn't have as many good people around me and I just had one person, I might have just had to choose a lane and been like, all right, well, fuck it. Like, I guess this is what I'm going to make.
Or you got a good ear for spotting.
I listen, it's all me, bro.
I'm
the common denominator.
Exactly.
You're talking about all these amazing people, but it's always him there in the room. Crazy.
It's fine. I'm happy. Maybe I'm the foundation.
Maybe there's like 10 different people on other podcasts at exactly the same time talking about you.
Yeah. Oh, that would be nice.
Yeah.
I'm sure that would be.
I mean, you know what? What's nice at the moment is, I've never really cared that much about being I've definitely never cared about being famous. But I have always, as I think everyone does that does anything creative or even like in any work, you kind of want recognition for what you do. And so I think the nicest thing about what's going on at the moment and Hello and et cetera is just that there's been a recognition of me as an artist, which at one point it didn't feel like was going to happen, if I'm honest. There's a really low point where I was almost wiped out, and I always use this example because this is exactly how I felt. Like, it was like an almost out of body experience. I was lying on my bed and I looked at myself and I was just like, right, like, you've actually been, all those people that you always saw that had been kind of chewed up by the industry and like beaten down, and I was like, you are one of those people. Like, how are you going to take it? And I, you know Training Day?
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
you know, you know Denzel at the end?
Yeah,
and he's just like, nah. Like, that was the energy that I felt like, fuck that. Yeah. Like, actually, that's not how I'm going out. Like, if I'm going out, I'm going out on my terms. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and that was the energy that I had. That's the energy I still have. And
but a lot of people in that position, your ego is broken and you kind of want to get in with those people when you're on the conveyor belt and still feel like wanted, whereas you kind of did your own thing.
They need that drug hit of being wanted and loved or whatever, innit? Like,
yeah, they want that big producer person to go, oh yeah, I want to get in with them again.
Yeah, it takes a lot to stand your own thing in that moment, man, for sure.
Yeah, and it did. I will say it did. It took a lot. I had to dig like very, very deep to find that. But I'm glad.
Tough.
Yeah, it's tough, and it's something that I guess there have been music documentaries that have come out recently, and it's really interesting to see like proper like career musicians when they're talking about like where they've been at, and people like even like the Bee Gees, where they were like, I think there's a point where he was like, yeah, I was just. We were touring the world, and then I came back and I found myself just living like next to a fish and chip shop.
Yeah.
And like, and then I didn't know what was going on, but then Saturday Night Fever came along, and like, that's kind of like what people know. People don't really like, well, at least for me.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Fact,
yeah.
People know that for that. Yeah. And that was their second wave. Like that was,
and
not everybody's lucky enough to get that, but I feel like what the people that are lucky enough to get it, they are resilient.
Especially now, like back then you had time. But now it's a bit
Sure.
You gotta be
sure. There's bare people, bro. Like on it. You blink and there's 10 people like ready to fill in when you
But do you know what's super important though? That when I was listening to you talk about that, is that sometimes it's not knowing, you don't have to know what you want. Sometimes it's knowing what you definitely don't want. Do you know what I mean?
And because I've been
so many times I'm like, I'm either talking about an idea, pitching for something, and I'm like, definitely don't want it to be like this. Let's make sure it's not like, you know. And at that moment where you're lying on your bed and that, you looked at something and you're like, rah, this is what I didn't want. and it's not going to happen. Do you know what I mean? This is, it's not going to happen because I know I didn't want this. Do you know what I'm saying?
I think, I couldn't agree more, bro. Like, and I guess I think the thing that I knew that I didn't want that changed everything for me. So like the label that I released everything off now is called 18 Records.
Mm-hmm.
And that was because 2018 was the year that everything changed for me. But I think the thing that I knew I didn't want was bad energy. I didn't want any.
Yeah.
And it was coming from me. It was coming from outside. Yeah. And it had become toxic and I built it up. Yeah. And a lot of, I don't know, man. It's easy when you're in the middle of something to not have perspective and to blame yourself and feel resentful. Because people make mistakes, like people fuck up, like people do things that are wrong, but it's about holding on to it and how you feel and what you've done. Right. Anyway, I realized that I was like, I don't want any new bad energy. And I just started feeling a lot more, I guess, love for myself and for what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And it was first I had to vent a bit. So like I did Nobody's Son and like I got it out and I was and there's a tune called Brixton.
Yeah, which I love that
is
tune.
About, yeah, so you know, that's about my dad, like my biological dad. And that song was a big turning point for me because there are lots of things that I felt about my, like that I wasn't aware of in terms of how destructive they were, in terms of how I felt about that situation still. And it wasn't until I'd got an opportunity to really speak on it. It's weird. It's weird that sometimes saying things out loud publicly makes a difference.
Of course, yeah.
Right, like writing it out. As I wrote it, I was like, "Fuck!" Like this is how you feel, and this is how you felt, and you have been angry, and you have been upset by it, but you haven't really accepted it.
Yeah.
And yeah, but that moment was massive. That whole EP, that Average Joe EP, was like that. I really described that as my first EP, like that as my first like proper project. Everything else was music that I love, the first thing that was defining as me was that Average Joe.
It's crazy you can do that through music because that's so, I mean, I go to therapy, man. I tell everyone about it, you know, like I think it's so important that like and that, you know, that's your first ever relationships in life. Like whether they're healthy or unhealthy, they're always going to have an effect on you.
Yeah.
And you know, and you might think, yeah, but it wasn't that bad. You know, I wasn't getting fucking like locked in a basement and beaten. The second time I said locked in a basement on this podcast, a bit weird.
Were you locked in a basement, bro?
Yes,
I was, but I felt like I deserved it.
That's fine. Have you written about it?
Yeah. But that's the next thing. No, but anyway, but you know, sharing that, always letting things out. Even if I haven't got that much to share that way, it's just cathartic, you know. So with something that, like, you know, you might be semi aware of, but then when you start putting it down and then hear it back and be, you know, that's a weight off your shoulder, man. I can imagine.
No, definitely. It takes a lot to process. I mean, I also took me a long time to get there, but I also am a massive advocate of therapy, of counseling, like, it's a different kind of experience. And it was a year after I wrote Brixton that I finally, once I got it out, then I could start looking at it. And
okay, amazing.
And the way that I describe therapy to people, because I think everybody has their different perceptions and like, oh, is there something wrong with you? Like, like, you've got mental health. There's a lot of stuff going on.
Interrupt? Yeah, one of the best things I've learned from it is that there's something wrong with everyone, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Definitely. We're all freaks. Well, that's what makes us amazing. We're all different.
100%.
Yeah.
The way that it made me feel is that, like, I'm not, like, cured, because there's no cure. But, like, the thing that it... So imagine, like, obviously people listening.
Yeah.
So I felt like I was a fist, and I felt like my brain was a fist. Mm. And I went to therapy, and then I came out, and I felt like it was an open hand, and I could see each finger, and I could see the things that were going on.
Yeah.
And that was what it was perspective.
Yes.
Like, it did. Like, I can see that those things are still, like,
there's cuts on those fingers. That's fine, but you can see it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I can see them. Yeah. And that's for me.
That's a sick way of putting it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was massively beneficial, and I recommend it to people, because I think not everybody knows what affects them, and you'd be a very, very well adjusted person if you had no issues.
And
I don't think that person exists.
Yeah, that doesn't exist. Exactly. That's a psychopath, because he's just not aware. Yeah. You know, they get out of their system by murdering people. That's their thing. But
basements
surrounding them. But that's amazing, man.
I think probably the thing that I'd also done a lot of pre that EP in music was I was very good at talking abstractly about stuff that I knew to be issues, but it would never actually be me.
Yeah.
And I think that lack of connection was probably also something that stopped. It stopped it ever being a fully engaged. Like, it was always, I can see how that's a problem, but that's not me. Like,
don't
judge me. That's not me. But then I was like, fuck it, own it. Take ownership of it. Like,
it must be hard, because you must, you know, the sort of humble part of you must think, you know, do people actually care? You know, do people actually, you know that first step is like, wait, if I'm talking about just myself and something that means so much to me, do people actually care? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the answer is they always will, because everyone can relate to it in some way or another. Yeah, man. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So, so what's the future saying, man? Like, live gigs, more music?
Yeah, the future is looking very, very good, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about a lot of things. But my first, like, proper project is coming in September.
Sick.
Amazing. So I'm very excited about that. So we're basically getting ready to build towards it. So, like, the music's there. Like, it's all... I'm feeling very excited. I think one of the things we kind of touched on it earlier a little bit is I really haven't had a chance to I guess, feel the... I was going to say reap the rewards, but that sounds a little bit egotistical. But I guess it is that. Like,
I know what you mean.
To reap the rewards of, like, of the Colours performance last year and Hello, and actually do a thing where I get to, like, feel the energy, because that's all I really care about. Like, I just want to be with people. I just want to be in a space where I can... That, because live is my favorite thing to do. It always has been.
Yeah.
Like, from dot. Like, I like recording music, but numbers are just numbers at the end of the day. Like, they mean a certain thing. They can put you in a certain place. They can bring you certain amounts of money, etc. But they are just numbers. There's no emotional attachment to them. Whereas if you're in a room and it's sweaty and you feel people vibing off your tunes, there's actually nothing like it in the world. And that's
jazz musician in you, isn't it?
Yeah, trust, bro.
Gonna bring the saxophone out.
Yeah.
I mean, I do. I have been known.
Yeah.
On Brixton, actually.
Okay, that's amazing. Yeah, sick.
Yeah. because it's an emotional tune, isn't it?
Yeah, of course.
But yeah, man, so that's really, for me, that's when the world does turn back on and things are looking a little bit more normal. Mm-hmm. That's when I think the future will really look like something. I'm excited about releasing more music and et cetera, but yeah. Live is life. Like, live is the thing that makes it feel real.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, do you know what that's doing? I've been recognised quite a lot in the last couple of weeks. And I know whether people are just out again, but now it's happened quite a few times. And it's funny because every time it's caught me, I've been like,
Yeah, you're right. Do you feel which one of you, is it the Colours one or is it one of my more underground ones?
Yeah. Are you a true fan? Someone tried past, they were driving past and they rolled down their window and he was like, I was just about to play hello.
Well, just play it then because I got my phone out. Fucking play it.
Yeah. but I appreciate it and it is nice. I guess again, like for me, it was never about that as a thing. Like I don't really.
No.
That's why
we make, you know, we create art because we care about it. We're not in, you know, we're the same. Like, we're not in it because we want to be famous or some sort of celebrity culture. That's all toxic. It's horrible. But when you create something, you want people to see it and feel it. Do you know what I mean?
To see it,
so when you start seeing that back, it's an amazing feeling.
Exactly. Because there's been no live, so I haven't been able to have that feeling. But like, and be like, it's exactly that. It's just the recognition of what you've done, mm-hmm. and the messages I get. Like those are the things that kind of make it feel worthwhile. Because especially the kind of deeper ones where people are like, "This has helped me through a hard time," or like, "I woke up to it this morning and it's made my day," or whatever. Like those things are special and they mean a lot.
Yeah. Okay, so now we're winding down towards the end of the show, and after all that deep stuff,
this is where we take our trousers off. Don't worry, we're shaved. I'm joking.
After all, you know, that with keeping in tone with the deep conversation and that, we will ask all our guests a very important question. And I feel like it describes a lot about a person. So what's your favourite sandwich?
Ooh. All right. So
do you like a sandwich? Can I ask?
Okay.
Then you're getting a top three, Jelani, because you're special.
Oh, I get top three? I appreciate that, bro. Yeah. All right, cool. So peanut butter and jam. Mm.
Oh, very American.
Because it slaps. And
yeah, it does.
It's actually sad because I don't think you can have it anymore in schools. And I feel for them because obviously like allergies are a thing now.
Peanut, fuck yeah, shit, I never got that.
Were allergies not a thing before? I don't remember anyone dying from peanuts before.
No. Or they just died.
Have you seen the Louis C.K. thing? When it's like, well, of course, watch Louis C.K.
Yeah, he's a G.
Yeah.
It's like, of course, but maybe. It's like a little sketch where he chats about kids with peanut allergies. But I don't really have it as a sandwich. I do that for like sentimental value because that was my original favorite.
Got sandwich. The OG.
Got you.
First sandwich you learned to make.
OG. That was the first,
Simple.
If I have a current go-to, it would be salami, rocket, blue cheese, mustard, mayo, pepper. Wow, so olive oil instead of butter.
I hear it. Come on, we're in Italy now.
You're going Italian.
Hey, come on. Yeah. That's hard. And then what bread are we doing with that?
It goes well with a good bagel. Also, tip for bagels, don't toast them. Put them in the oven. And then they get crunchy on the outside, but still really soft and hot on the inside.
I respect that. That's like a nectar.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah.
Come
on.
Like, trust me, next time you have a bagel, bro, elite. But wash your hands because it gets hot.
What sort of time are you putting that in for? Just out of curiosity.
You have to be committed. I put it in top full heat, 5 minutes, maybe 10.
Okay.
Eventually, you'll get it down.
That's how you're getting that texture. Full heat, you're getting the crisp on the outside and soft in the middle.
You're getting the crisp, but the heat
keep the light on in the oven.
Mm-hmm. So keep soft. Yeah. And then, yeah, I guess that would be my like go-to delicious if I want to, if I want to meet kind of soundproof, to meet kind of situation. And then if you, I'll give you one like just for out there that you might not have ever considered before.
Okay.
But this was my first, after I used to love peanut butter and jam.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when you get a bit older and your taste buds change a bit.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was like, I want something a little bit more savory.
Yeah.
Peanut butter and cream cheese.
What?
No, yeah.
Serious?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I'm not mad at that because I don't know. Well, because they, you do have peanut. You do have peanut butter and savory, like Dan Dan noodles. You have like a peanutty sort of. So that could be good actually. Yeah.
Bit of satay
cheesy,
chicken.
Nutty. Is that on a bagel again?
It works with pita bread. Works good in pita bread.
Oh wow. Okay. Yeah.
Pita's my go-to bread at the moment.
Yeah, I love
that. That's what I'm on. Yeah. So there you go.
That's that's been the most different lineup we've ever had, and I'm proud of it. I'm here for it.
The last one's strange. It's out there, but I like it.
No, but I like that. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, it's like Flying Lotus on the lineup.
Yeah. V-Fest, Flying Lotus.
Flying Lotus at V-Fest.
The riddle's a guarantee. I'll give you something to go away and try. I want to know as well.
Do
give it a go.
Wait, I'm going to try it.
Let me know what you think.
Yeah, I'm going to try that. I've heard of someone doing peanut butter and hummus before.
Oh, wow.
You know, maybe they're laying that down in a pitter. Who knows?
Maybe.
Of course, you have to. Out of respect.
Out of respect for the hummus.
For the hummus.
Yeah, I hear it. Yeah. All right, sick. Hey, listen, and then lastly, We ask all of our guests, because at the end of the day, the show is about me and Hugo, really, isn't it? So, like, we ask...
I'm an accessory, let's be honest.
So we ask all our guests...
All our guests
to,
are.
We ask all our guests to ask us three questions each.
The three questions.
Oh, all right.
But it can be the same question.
Oh, yeah, it can be the same question for both of us.
Yeah.
Cool. Who's more important out of the two of you?
Oh, Hugo,
more important.
Hugo, you know the answer to that, innit?
Yeah, me.
What? It's me, obviously.
You got to love yourself.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, cool. So you both agreed that it's you.
No, do you know what it is, Jaylani? We both said, like, me, yeah, as in, like,
me, yeah.
That the person. But my opinion means more than his. Do you know what I mean? So you know what to take from that.
Yeah. And that's the same with me. Yeah. My opinion is way more valuable.
Yeah.
And I'm a man who wears many hats, so I know what I'm talking about. I've been extremely successful in both.
So going on from that then, what is your favourite type of hat?
Oh, sick. Mine would be... I mean, it changes with the times, obviously. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, if you asked me back in the day, it would have been a new era. If you asked me in 2009, it would have been a snapback. Now I'm like, a snapback is what a drum and bass DJ in Croatia wears.
But mine
now is probably like a little Palace 6-panel. Kind of
okay.
That kind of fit.
You're both hat guys, though. Isn't it? I used to be such a hat guy, but I never didn't wear a hat.
Yeah,
never cap. New era.
Are you letting your hair grow out? Are you gonna continue?
Yeah, this was by force.
Yeah.
By lockdown.
It wasn't a decision, but I like it. It's grown figuratively and literally grown on me. When it got to a certain stage, I was like, yeah, cool.
Yes,
back
here.
It'll go again, I think, for the summer. But like, I've been enjoying it and growing.
Hugo, did you say what hat was your favourite?
Oh, no, mine's the same.
Okay.
For now.
Yeah, cool.
Palace, but the older Palace caps, I feel, fit better than the newer ones.
Are you wearing a little bucket?
Oh, yeah, little bucket.
Yeah, little car
or a bowler?
Yeah.
You're wearing a bowler? I wish you were wearing a bowler hat. That would
have been
such a good thing.
Everyone out there,
wearing a top hat.
You guys wearing a top hat? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I've
got a bow tie
director.
On, yeah. No trousers, leather boots.
All right, cool. Last question. When everything opens again, what's the first cocktail that you're going to get?
Oh, that's a good one. Do you know what, yeah? Fuck. All right, then. I'm going to sound like the biggest wanker, but I am. I've established I feel myself wanking. I'm probably a Picante. From like Shoreditch House.
Picante is a banger. Yeah. Like, you know what? They were like my Christmas drink, actually.
Yeah.
They were good.
I feel they're good. You know, there's not much mixer. It's just like, you know, like a clean tequila, a lime, you're getting your vitamin C at the same time.
Yeah.
So lots of ice, you're keeping hydrated, and the chili to spice things up, you know what I mean?
No, it's a perfect drink. Yeah, you described it perfectly.
Oh man, I don't really drink that regularly, and I don't really have like a sort of excitement towards like a cocktail. So
you just, like, you just ruined the whole show.
You just absolutely ruined. I'm going.
Sorry. My honesty
is. Where would you go? Where are you going? Where was? There's the first place that you want to go.
Oh man, I want to go on holiday. To be honest.
Well, yeah, obviously,
that's
weird. I'm not saying like the shop.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, but not like a shit, not a staycation or like Europe.
Oh yeah, no. Like where, like other country? What other country?
Yeah, like a strong 9-hour situation on a plane.
What location?
Vietnam.
Vietnam. There you go. Vietnam. There we go. Vietnam's hard as well. It's about my favourite place. It's proper.
The only thing that worries me is because I've been Thailand, and I know it's not Thailand, but it's the food poisoning situation. Especially I'm travelling with a child.
Have you been poisoned?
Yeah, badly.
That's just diarrhoea though. That wasn't food poisoning.
Yeah, but then the time I went after that, literally, I was out again.
Tripping out.
You say it like it's just nothing.
No. Sorry.
I was pissing out my ass for like 6 days.
There's no toilet.
I was on medication that gave me vivid nightmares. That's why I don't want to take it.
Wait, listen, on that note, Jaylani, thanks so much for coming on, bro. Really appreciate your time.
Yeah, no, it's been fun.
Yeah, thank you, man.
Also, the last question we ask everyone is, are you our new best mate?
Yeah,
come on.
I mean, clearly,
that's what I'm saying.
I'll book you for the Vietnam holiday. Just send your passport number, bank details. Cheers, man.
I'll bring the nappies, bro.
Thank you.
All right, nice one, brother. Big ups, man.
Right, in a bit.
Respect.
Thanks for your time.
Nice one. Yeah, thank you, bro.
This is the outro. See you later. And good luck. Stay lucky, boy. Stay lucky, boy.
And there you have it, man, like Jaylani Blackman. How you feeling, Hugo?
Oh, I felt like that was an instant slammer.
That was an instant slammer and success of a show.
Yeah.
Thank you very much to him for coming on. I don't know why I always do that, expecting that they're listening back to the...
They might be.
They might be. But yeah, man, you guys check him out.
Just, definitely. Just
type his name on Spotify. There's a lot there. I mean,
you'll find
about his journey that there's a lot of different... I guess genres and pockets that
textures.
You can sit into and man, it's sick. Like, yeah, he's a sick guy.
Hey,
and,
Alan, he's a true onion.
Oh, here we go. Layers.
Yeah.
Sick. You know, at one point I thought, I know you got this Carhartt bucket on, but because I couldn't see the top, it looked like a, you know, this sort of flower pot hats from Go-Go Gadget, Inspector
sick.
Gadget, and a leather, and I thought you had a leather jacket on as well.
Don't ever think that I wouldn't wear that.
Okay. Yeah. What's your hair like underneath?
Phenomenal.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. No, I'm at the point is I don't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
I know to shave it off.
Nice. You got the side sweep. Famously worn by an old dictator from Germany. We won't name his name.
I got the Hitler trim, man.
No, he didn't have to.
Not good.
He didn't have to say it. Let the people guess.
Well, it's not his name that's bad. Well, it is his name that's bad. It's what he did.
Yeah, that's true. Right. And, you know, it's not just it can't be his name that's bad, because I'm sure there's people called Hitler in the world. There's nothing wrong with him.
There must be. It must be a surname in Germany.
Oh, shit, it was his surname, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it let's not give him any more airtime, because he's had a lot of press about him. So let's not. Yeah.
Is he dead? We don't know. So let's move on. And,
well, I mean, he is. But...
Well, he would be now by age.
Well, yeah.
Or,
exactly.
You know.
He's put it this way. He's not living in Alaska with Tupac, put it that way.
Let's put it that way. He's not living in... somewhere in South America where people thought he was.
I don't know. That's his family.
No, I watched the documentary on it.
Oh, okay. Is that a reco? Is that a hot reco?
It's not, because it's like American and made like, up, we find Hitler's like
that. We don't watch
friend.
Stuff like that. We don't watch stuff like that, do we? Well, do you know what though? You know, I'm a massive Friends fan.
Yeah.
Did you hear there's going to be a reunion episode?
Really?
Yeah, but I'm excited, but annoyed, because they shouldn't call it a reunion episode, because it's not them in character. It's just a documentary about it.
Oh, right. That's...
Yeah. Why are they calling it that?
Yeah.
Annoying.
Yeah.
Do you know what I say to that? Wrong.
Yeah, it is wrong. Yeah, well, exactly. It's misleading.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So there you go. And do you know what's something else that's leading?
Misleading or leading?
No, leading.
Go on.
Us to the end of the show. So that's the outro done.
Well done.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right, see you later.
See you, man.
Oh, yeah. Also, we forgot to say that you lot must like and subscribe as well, apparently.
Yeah. Just click on it. It's real easy.
Lift your finger, drop it when you see the like or subscribe. It. Done. All right? Yeah. Done. Also, follow us on Instagram and our new Twitch account, because we'll be doing live episodes on Twitch every now and then. So keep an eye out.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them are the Chatting Shit Podcast. That's the Chatting Shit Podcast. All right? So follow us on both of them. And also, if you've got any questions, anything you want us to talk about, hit us up on the email. That's chattingshit1@gmail.com. Nice one.
Sweet.
Yeah?
Yeah.
See you later.
See ya.
Hey, yo! Will everyone shut the fuck up? I want to give a crazy, stupid, dope fly shout out to everyone involved in this podcast.
Nah, fuck that. Who's the brain that produces this show, man?
Man like Rupert Magending.
And who's the audio editor?
James Torrance, check
it. House. Who's the video editor?
Ha ha, James Lord.
And who does all the illustrations?
It's Alison the Ink.
Mad on the visuals, bruh.
Shout all the posse down at Acast Laboratory. Hip hop, hip hop. Am I right, hustler?
You're not wrong, Playboy Valentino.